This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Murray Blair and his three children are gathering at his home in northern New Hampshire. His children, all adults, bicker almost nonstop, and the drama that the youngest, Lizzie, carries with her is enough to drive all of them to worry and judge. And underneath all their interactions is the hum of a memory of an accident that killed their mother and brother 3 decades earlier. That is the premise of the new novel by Elizabeth Hyde. It's called Go Ask Fanny, and Elizabeth Hyde joins us now. Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So the Fanny in the title of your novel refers to the Fanny Farmer cookbook that belonged to Lillian, the mother and wife in the novel. Lillian was an aspiring fiction writer, and when she was cooking for her young children and she got a story idea, she would write it down sort of in a code only she could decipher in the margins of the book as a reminder for what she wanted to write later. And her children really treasure this book later in life, and they wonder about their mother's creative inner life. I wanted to ask you, how did this idea come to you?
Well, the cookbook actually exists. I was home visiting my dad, who lives in northern New Hampshire, but he's actually 97. And I was going through the shelf of my mother's old cookbooks and came across this old Fanny Farmer edition. It's 1945, and it's falling apart at the spine, and the pages are all grease splattered. And there are some of my mother's notes in it, but they are pretty mundane notes, you know, double recipe or, you know, add a can of mushroom soup or something like that. But it got me to thinking, what if a housewife were to have other aspirations and just be caught unawares with an idea that suddenly pops into her head, and having no other time and place to go and explore that idea, she just jots the idea down in a cookbook. And these ideas build up, and then she takes the cookbook up to her third-story bedroom and makes the story out of it that she was conceiving of earlier.
Mm-hmm. Lillian, in the book, does manage to write some of her stories down, but she never lives to see a successful publication. She got hints of one before she died. Let me ask you about you personally, because you mentioned on your author website that children and your writing always seem to coincide at about the same time.
They did. My first novel came out within weeks of our son being born, and it kind of, they followed in line. There was a big gap when I had three children in diapers. And at that point, I wasn't doing a whole lot of writing. I had a novel going and in progress, but it took several years for that one to actually make it into any state where it was in decent enough shape to show somebody. So it was really only the first two books that kind of went hand in hand with children.
This book is written in the third person, so we get a chance to see the situations unfold from a variety of different perspectives. And one of the perspectives is Ruth, the oldest daughter, who is a lawyer. And you have training as a lawyer, and I'm learning now that you and Lillian may have identified on some level as well with respect to juggling your family life and writing life. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering which of these characters you felt you most identified with, and I would guess it was a toss-up between Lillian and Ruth, but maybe that's not correct.
No, I think you're pretty much on point there. I identify with Ruth because she likes everything to be organized and laid out, and she doesn't like to have things happen randomly, which is why she kind of gets pretty upset with Lizzie for creating the chaos that Lizzie always creates whenever Ruth comes home to visit. It's either the house next door blowing up with meth dealers or Lizzie getting in a bike accident, but things don't go as planned, and Ruth doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. Ruth likes things to go as planned.
How do you think your training as a lawyer has influenced the kind of writing you do or your style, if at all?
It hasn't influenced the style of writing, or otherwise I would be writing, you know, thrillers and legal mysteries. But it has influenced my writing habits. And I can say that as soon as I left my job as a lawyer, which was back in 1982, I was really good about sitting down at a desk at 8 o'clock in the morning. And back then I had a quota of 5 pages per day. And I wouldn't let myself leave the office until I'd written those 5 pages per day. These days, it's not 5 pages per day. It's more like spend the time in the chair from 9 or 8, whatever, until like usually 1 o'clock. And I can't really conceive of doing anything during the morning other than writing. So in that sense, being a lawyer taught me to just sit down and actually do the work rather than think, oh, maybe I'll get an idea if I go out for a walk right now.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Murray, because for Murray, it seems like his world is changing in ways that he really doesn't like. Like his youngest daughter, Lizzie, she's in a sort of friends with benefits situation with a much older man, and he's really uncomfortable with that, though he recognizes that that kind of arrangement is more common among the younger generations. And he can see that, you know, his memory is failing him, so his world isn't as cohesive as it used to be. And this book takes place in 2016, and he can see that in ways that his children maybe can't, that Donald Trump is not quite just a passing thing that's going to disappear. Mm-hmm. He can tell the world's changing. And that's a sense of, I don't want to say fear, but it makes him really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I was wondering where that element of the novel came from.
That's a really good insight into Murray, and I haven't had people talk about that before, so I appreciate that. Murray is a political soul, and he's got a long history. He ran for Congress back in 1984 and ran as a Democrat in an overwhelmingly Republican state back then. And I wanted him to be a person who goes against the grain. That was really important to me. And at this point in his life, he's served in the New Hampshire legislature, so he's got a pretty good perspective of political issues. And I think just because of his age alone, he's seen things come and go and does realize that Donald Trump is not going to be a passing phenomenon. And you're right, he sees himself as somebody who probably has a better perspective on things than his kids.
Mm-hmm. How do you manage family drama like this on a page?
Well, I like doing conversation, and when I'm in the zone, the conversation comes pretty naturally to me, and of course I edit it too, but squabbling back and forth and having several conversations going on at the same time is something that I really like to read, and so I've really worked hard at trying to manage as a writer.
Well, Elizabeth Hyde, thank you very much for speaking to me about your book.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
That's Elizabeth Hyde. Her newest novel is called Go Ask Fanny. And you can find a list of the top 5 books on Elizabeth's bookshelf at our website, nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. So if you know of a book that you simply could not put down, let us know about it. Tell us your name, the town you're from, the title of the book, and the author, and give us a few lines about why you like the book so much. You can put all that in an email to us. The address is books@nhpr.org. You can also send us a quick tweet at NHPR Bookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.